Okay, so what do we do now? Do we once again add a name to a perpetually growing list, which has become a roll call, or do we take action to create change? When you have one group of people who seek to demonize a victim of what rational minds would call unjust violence, while idolizing the perpetrators of that violence, and on the other side, have a group of people who refuse to acknowledge the mistakes and missteps taken by those within their own community, while failing to bring an awareness to those who have been overly aggressive to people in their community, you wind up with a mutual mistrust, and in more cases than we'll ever admit to, fear between the two sides. So how do we address this reality? It'll take more than a social media post or retweet, so I can tell you that. The answer won't be found by spreading false information or committing vandalism in the streets. The solution certainly doesn't rest between two guns pointed at each other. The path, as always, is found in facts. Do we believe that all are entitled to the rights afforded Americans? Will we admit that the history of America is not perfection? Can we sit down with each other as mutual teachers and students? Well, we need to. We have to. Now, let me change that. We all need to. We all have to. Let this register really deep inside of you. It wasn't until 1964 when equality in voting was finally ensured for all in America. It wasn't until the 1970s when civil rights was met with more approval than rejection, hostility, or violence. Google and read the story of Emmett Till. Go to YouTube and watch the videos of how civil rights marchers were met with water hoses, dogs, and clubs swung by police. Go to our website, the Issues and Ideas website audio page. Listen to Melba Patil Beals, one of the Arkansas Nine, tell stories of how she risked her life. Her life, she has to go to school. Listen to Lieutenant Colonel Harry Stewart Jr., one of the legendary Tuskegee Airmen from World War II, tell how he faced the racism of the 50s and 60s after coming home as a military hero. Are you one who says it's not up to you? It's not your responsibility? It's not your job? Well, I've seen you. No, I have. Not stalking you, but I've seen you. You're the one who walks through the exit of the Walmart where the Girl Scouts, Veterans Group, local food pantry, they set up a table to raise funds. And, well, you just don't walk by them. You walk to the right, even though your car's over there on the left. I know who you are. When you're walking down the street and you see a child in a wheelchair coming the opposite way towards you, you step to the side in the direction away from that child in the wheelchair. I know who you are. You're an observer in our world. And today we are in desperate need of participants. I'm reminded of the day after Labor Day weekend. Well, quite a few years ago. I'm saying that more and more. I find myself recently saying, anyway. I'd spent the weekend in New York City with the Jerry Lewis MDA telethon, Tony Orlando, all those great people. The morning DJ back at the station that Tuesday came up to me with an extended hand saying that we did a great job. Since, once again, the final totes surpassed the previous year's total. What was his contribution? He sat home and watched the telethon. You see? Observer, participant. We're in need of participants who want to listen, learn, teach, talk, inspire, challenge, confront, heal, help, promote, diffuse, be there for others. Let me leave you with this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8, 16, and 17.